Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what was Agnieszka Holland's greatest challenge when filming the film In Darkness? Last week we spoke with Sally Perel, whose amazing experiences during World War II were made into the award-winning movie Europa, Europa. This week we're speaking with Agnieszka Holland, the director of that film. Ms. Holland was born in Warsaw, Poland in 1948. Both her parents were journalists. Her first major film, Provincial Actors, which was an allegory of Poland's contemporary political situation, won the International Critics Prize at the 1980 Cannes Film Festival. Holland directed two more major films in Poland, Gorashka and A Lonely Woman, before emigrating to France shortly before the December 1981 imposition of martial law in Poland. In the 80s and early 90s, Holland wrote scripts for fellow Polish filmmakers in exile, notably Wajda's Danton, A Love in Germany, The Possessed, and Korshak. She also developed her own projects with Western European production companies, directing Angry Harvest, To Kill a Priest, and Olivier Olivier. Holland received an Academy Award nomination for Best Foreign Language Film for Angry Harvest, a German production about a Jewish woman on the run during World War II. Holland's best-known film may be Europa, Europa, which won the 1991 Golden Globe Award for Best Foreign Language Film and an Oscar nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay. Other films of hers include The Secret Garden, Total Eclipse, Washington Square, the HBO production Shot in the Heart, Julie Walking Home, and Copying Beethoven. Her 2011 film, In Darkness, was selected as the Polish entry for the Best Foreign Language Film at the 84th Academy Awards. In January 2012, the film was one of the five finalists. It's based on the true story of Leopold Socha, who risked his own life to care for a group of Jewish refugees in the sewers of Lwów in Nazi-occupied Poland. In 2013, Holland filmed Burning Bush, a three-part drama for HBO about Jan Palach, who immolated himself in January 1969 to protest normalization after the Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia in August 1968. The miniseries was selected for a special presentation screening at the 2013 Toronto International Film Festival and was also shown at the 2013 Philadelphia Film Festival. She also directed NBC's 2014 miniseries, Rosemary's Baby, a two-part version of the best-selling novel by Ira Levin. Holland is filmmaker-in-residence at Brooklyn College of the City University of New York and took over the chairmanship of the European Film Academy Board in January 2014. Ms. Holland was in Spain recently to attend the showing of In Darkness at the Jewish Film Festival, which is held annually in Barcelona and Madrid. We spoke with her about the film and her career. Thank you very much for speaking with us today. Could you tell us a little bit about your own personal background? Because it's fascinating, your parents and your childhood.
I'm born in Warsaw after the war, by the end of 48. My father was Jew, Jew from Warsaw. He left Poland when the war started, and he flew toward the east, and then the Soviet army came, so he found himself in the Soviet zone, but he was also very, very much believing communist as a young person, as a young boy, actually. And then he was in the Soviet army, in the Red Army, and after he was in Polish army, which was created by Stalin, and which was after, and he came with this army to Poland, fighting, and after he became some kind of the political commissar or something like that. And in Poland he met my mother, who is from Polish family, and she was, as a teenager, the part of the Polish underground home army, and she was fighting also in the Warsaw Uprising. But for her, one of the most probably important experiences in her life, it was to witness Holocaust in Warsaw. And it became something extremely sensitive for her. So when she met my father, I think they married because he was Jew, he wanted. She actually made the plea together with her girlfriend during the war that if they will survive, they will marry a Jewish man. Both did, and both had the children. But the marriage of the girlfriend was good, but the marriage of my mother wasn't so great. So I'm not sure if it's always the best reason to marry somebody, to try to undo the injustice of the history. And my father was very believing, I think, communist, and slowly he started to lose his faith when he'd seen what's going on in the real socialist countries. And after 56, he became less, and he drifted away from the belief in that, and he also abandoned the journalism and became the scientist of the sociology. In 61, he was arrested with some kind of the fake accusation of being involved in some spying or something. And during the investigation, he jumped out from the window and he killed himself. So he died very young. He was 41, and I was 13 in this moment.
That must have been traumatic.
Certainly it was. And it influenced certainly a lot of my views and of my choices. And also of my problems, because his name was connected for the Communist Party with something, you know, subversive. So from the time up, I had already problems with the authorities, which probably made me, to many extent, the person I am. You know?
Was it difficult for you in high school and growing up, being someone from a multicultural background?
You know, my background wasn't really multicultural, because my father never passed me any knowledge about the Jewish background. And he was not a believer. My mother was not believing Catholic. And so I was raised very much in the, you know, general feeling that the human being is the most important, and that the idea of justice and solidarity and helping each other and generosity, which wasn't connected for my parents, especially for my mother, with any kind of faith. And we've been celebrating the Catholic Christian holidays, because it was in Poland something which was like part of the tradition, and without real connection to the religious aspect. And I found it myself when I was young, when I was a teenager, when I was 13, 12, 14 after, I found my way toward the church, and I was going to the catechism lessons. But in some point, you know, meeting a lot of anti-Semitic priests, I just lost the special attachment to the, you know, especially Polish Catholic Church. I thought that this burden of the anti-Semitism never really disappeared, even under the Pope, John Paul II, who've been very, like, anti-Semitic, and who've been pretty loud about it. And I never really, you know, was raised in the Jewish faith or in Jewish tradition. I found after myself, you know, the way to know something about it and to learn about it. And it was funny, because when I started to be more involved in studying the Jewish culture and Jewish tradition, I found it very familiar. It's like, you know, it was some kind of the genetic knowledge.
How did you happen to become interested in it? And I know that many of your films deal either with the Holocaust or with political or with religious themes. How did you become interested in this, especially in the Jewish aspect?
I don't know. It's both. My father never spoke about it. He never told me the word about his parents, for example. And I think it was such a deep trauma that he was silenced by that. So it was through my mother, actually. But the vision of my mother, of the Jewishness, was in some way very limited. It was mostly the Holocaust, which was for her this huge experience, and she passed me the knowledge of the martyrhood and the terrible crime of the humanity toward Jews. But I started to feel that it's not enough, that it's reductive in some way to reduce the Jewish identity only to the martyrhood. And so I started to be interested also in another aspect of that. But I was curious child and curious young person, so and I felt that I'm connected to that in some way, and that I want to know about it, and that I want to understand also what this destiny means, and how it's connected with my own identity, and this duplicity of the identity. I found it interesting challenge, and it's why maybe I'm interested to speak about it and to make the films about
it. I'd like to speak about your work. You've said that Czech films are very influential in your work, and a quote that I've seen is, "My cinema has always oscillated between Polish pathos and Czech civilness." Could you explain that, and could you also tell us about other filmmakers who are particularly influential in your work?
The Czech cinema had his best time in the 60s, during something just called after the Czech New Wave. And it was the number of extremely talented, very innovative filmmakers which come up. And one of the aspects of the cinema, it was the very civil realism. It means it was a cinema which was showing in non-sentimental way, the simple people. And it was Miloš Forman's film, it was Věra Chytilová's films, Jiří Menzel, Jireš, Jan Niemetz, who did more creative cinema, it means, and it was different. But still, even in the films which have been stylized and more magical, this element to be close to the people, to the regular folks, is very powerful. And I loved it. I found it very powerful, exactly. And in the same time, the Poles preferred the hero as a hero. Mm-hmm. The main character was somebody who was fighting with the high demons, history or, oppression and dependence. And sometimes, this heroic figure became inhuman. It was like stereotype. It became the kind of the stereotype. And this romanticism sometimes led toward some kind of nationalistic, pulsion. And also, in some way, it is easy to become Manichaean. It means the white and black are very, easily divided. And I believe that in our life, it's not so easy to divide the good from evil, and that it's mixed together. And most of the fights happens in the human soul, inside of the human being, and not only outside. But in the same time, this feeling for the tragedy and pathos, which is present in the best Polish films, is something which resonates with me also. So, in some way my films are the mix of those two things. And I was, when I was young, I was influenced by dozens of filmmakers. When I decided to make the movies, which I was 15 years old, I started to watch everything. It was middle 60s, so it was a great period for the European cinema and also for the great filmmakers out of Europe, like Kurosawa or some American filmmakers, but the European cinema was my country in some way. Robert Bresson and Bergman and Fellini, Antonioni, Pasolini, and the French New Wave, the English Angry Wave, and, the Tarkovsky, and so they've been for me, and Polish directors like Wajda or Hass or Munk have been for me very important figures, and they gave me the appetite to try to be the small part of this artistic world of independent cinema.
You've said that in cinema, as in I guess most areas, it's more difficult for women.
Yeah, it is apparently. I'm not maybe the best example for that, but I know the price. So
do you prefer to direct your own scripts? Because I know you've written a number of scripts. Or do you prefer to direct other people's? Or does it depend on the script?
I became lazy, so I'm writing less and less. And it's also because I'm receiving so many scripts, and some of them are really good. So I'm a bit afraid that I lost the craft a bit of writing. It's easier for me to adjust the script, which I like, and to pump into that some particular, personal point of view, than to write the script from the scratch. But I hope that, before stopping making movies, I will do one more film which will be entirely mine. The directors are strange people, because you are taking somebody's material, somebody's life story, and And after a few months of working on that, you really deeply believe that it's yours. So that we are the kind of thief.
You've also directed for TV, which are shorter films, really. Do you have a preference? Do you prefer feature-length films or TV, or is it just a different kind of thing?
Well, for TV, it's, you know, it's, you have different forms of TV movie making. It means you have the TV films, which mostly are, you know, 1 hour or 1 hour and a half long features. I don't see the big difference with the movies. After, we have the miniseries, which I did recently too, and especially Burning Bush, which it speaks about the Czech experience during after 68 and runs 4 hours. It's like the better film in some way, because it's more complex than you can squeeze into you know, 2 hours. And actually it opens today in New York in the cinema with the very good reviews. So you know, it's not the difference really. And after, you have episodic television, which is very interesting, because it is like, it is to me in the best of the case. And of course you have different kind of episodic television. You have sitcoms, you have telenovelas, but you have also dramatic series, which some of them in last 15 years became probably better than many movies. And then the director is not the owner of that. It's more the screenwriter who is the creator of the series. And directors are mostly the people to hire to direct the particular episodes. And that is less personal, certainly, than, you know, than if you control artistically everything from the beginning to the end. But I also developed some TV series, and that is very fascinating, because you can really develop the characters, and it really find the epical dimension. And I think that the appetite of the younger audience for the TV series reflects some need to have the stories which are richer and, you know, and more complex than the film is able to give. It's something like, you know, the appetite for the big novel in 19th century, which was actually mostly published also by episodes.
You've made many, many films. Do you have a favorite?
No, I don't think so. Mostly the last one, because, you know, it's your film the most connected. But it's some movies, I'm not watching my movies back, but sometimes it happens that when, for example, I'm zapping the television and my movies on the TV and I'm watching that. And sometimes I'm a bit disappointed, and sometimes I'm like quite happy, and I say, oh, you know, it's good, it works, it still works. But I didn't make the rank of the movies. Mostly I prefer my smaller movies than my bigger movies.
Your daughter is also a filmmaker. Have you ever worked with her?
Quite often we did one TV series together with her and my sister. We directed different episodes, but we developed it together. And I co-directed one movie with her. And she quite often makes for me second unit when I'm shooting. It means she shoots the scenes, sometimes the most important scenes actually, like in Darkness it happened, parallelly to my shooting, you know, to make the schedule possible. So she's helping me, and she's great. I can totally trust her vision. But she's doing her own stuff also, so, you know, I can ask her to work with me only when she's available.
I wanted to talk a little bit about In Darkness. It actually is 3 years old now. It's from 2011, and they're just showing it here in the Jewish Film Festival. The film mostly takes place underground. Were there any special challenges that you found in filming it?
Yeah, it was difficult, especially for the cinematographer, because I told her that I don't want a lot of light. I want only a very reduced amount of light. It means it will really shot in very dark conditions, and it was on red, which is not very sensitive, so we've been afraid, she was afraid all the time that it would be not, you know, technically filled, and she had to find the way how to lit it without really lighting it too much. So we've been using a lot of the flashlights, actually. And the actors became like the lighting workers, because they had to, you know, lit the scene in the way that important part of the scene will be visible. And all the movie was a challenge, actually. You know, it was a very difficult film to shoot, physically and psychologically and on every level, but it was in the same time very intense experience, in the worst and in the best.
I read that one of your unrealized projects has been the story of the Jews from the Warsaw Ghetto, and that you have had a script kind of prepared for over 30 years. Is that something that you're still considering doing?
It wasn't my script. It was a script by a famous Polish scriptwriter who wrote Wajda's Canal, Jerzy Stawiński. It was actually a very good script, but a bit American, you know, and it was in 81 when I prepared it, and at some point I realized that it cannot be the first film I do or is done in Poland about Warsaw Ghetto, because it lacks like more complex perspective of that. And at the same time I realized that if I want to tell the truth about the life and that in the Warsaw Ghetto, I will not find the audience for that. That neither Jews neither Poles would like not to see the truth. So I put it on the side. And after I did another movies which wasn't exactly about the Warsaw Ghetto, but which dealt with this period and its problems. But I never read this, I didn't read the script again, you know, so I don't know what I will tell today about it. Maybe I have to find it. But I don't want to do more Holocaust films. I think three is enough.
Can you tell us what you're working on now?
I'm preparing two future films, one in Poland and one kind of international adaptation of the novel by Arthur Kessler. But they are on the stage before production, you know. It means we still are collecting money and finishing this, means finding the scripts and so. But I hope one of that I will do the beginning of next year, probably I will start the photography.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.